C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, December 9th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Just a few months ago, homeowners were being warned to brace for skyrocketing natural gas and heating fuel prices this winter. Fast forward to now, and those expected price jumps haven't materialized.
Hot October means windows are open and we're not turning on the furnace. So as this autumn progressed and been relatively mild, we haven't needed to burn a lot of gas.
So with the first day of winter about 2 weeks away, what's the outlook for consumers who are thinking about the cost of heating their homes? We'll check in with our reporter Ryan December after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Earlier this fall, the expected price of natural gas jumped, and that sent a signal to homeowners that heating their house over the winter could put a chill on their household budget. But prices have actually come down since then, and it's not even the first day of winter. So what's going on? Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan December has been tracking prices in the natural gas market, and he joins us with an update. Ryan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ryan, you know, right around the end of the summer, we saw futures prices for natural gas and heating fuel skyrocket, and that set off alarms that winter heating bills for consumers could go through the roof. What was behind that spike in prices?
Well, you know, in the United States, we've gotten really accustomed to very low natural gas prices the last decade or so because of the shale boom. The gas market has been generally glutted in recent years. And that's pushed prices way down. And not only did we as consumers get used to those prices, but those prices became sort of untenable for producers. So they've had to sort of dial back production in order to get prices high enough that they can keep drilling new gas wells. So with that in the background, we had just a lot of uncooperative weather to start the year. We had a freeze in Texas that caused a spike in demand and also froze a lot of oil and gas wells to reduce production right when we needed it most. And then if you go into the spring, we had a terrible drought in the West that dried up hydropower. And that was a lot of gas, you know, needed to make up for the electricity demand. And then you get into summer, and we had some of the hottest weather around the world this summer. We had the hottest June on record in North America. We had the hottest July on record in Asia. And in Europe, temperatures were so high that, you know, they were breaking records. It got almost 120 in Sicily. And what that meant was a lot of natural gas needed to power air conditioning. And that meant that the glut that had been sort of keeping prices low around the world evaporated. And that's where we got the big run-up into fall. And we had predictions which, you know, based on the available supply, that if we had a really cold winter, we would face shortages and probably price spikes. So that got the market moving really high.
And yet prices for natural gas are now down about 40% from their high in October. So why is that? What's happened since the fall?
Well, you know, we've had very mild autumn weather, right? Again, we've had a really hot year, but when you have a hot year in October, that starts to be sort of had the opposite effect that a hot June would have. Hot October means windows are open and we're not turning on the furnace. So as this autumn progressed and been relatively mild, we haven't needed to burn a lot of gas. That's allowed gas to build up in inventories, particularly in the US. Europe is still having issues, Asia as well. But where we produce gas, we've allowed sort of our storage facilities to restock this autumn. And that's meant that, you know, if we have a cold snap, we probably have the gas to get through it. We're not going to see spiking prices to make up for the demand.
So does that mean that homeowners who have been bracing for high heating bills are out of the woods? You know, Ryan, heating fuel is a sizable chunk of household budgets.
Yeah, we're not totally out of the woods yet. You know, natural gas prices are still about 50% more than they were a year ago. That doesn't mean you're going to see a 50% increase in your bill. We have a lot of, you know, utilities are regulated by how much they can charge, and they hedge to protect the price that they pay, so they're not always paying the market price. But generally, you would expect higher bills. And if we have cold weather, you know, we still have a lot of winter yet to go. As we saw earlier this year, we had Texas freeze over for several days. You can have an event like that, you know, later on that can cause prices to run up again. So we're not necessarily out of the woods. Also, folks who are on propane in rural areas, those prices for propane, another gas, have not come down as much. They're still about twice as much as last year. So those folks should count on paying more than last year. What we're probably not as worried about is like an across-the-board rise of natural gas prices into like the $10 or $12 range, which would be significantly higher than the $3 to $4 range we've sort of gotten used to in the winters.
Now, you mentioned earlier that natural gas prices are still running about 50% higher than a year ago. What's keeping those prices so high?
Demand has increased around the world. One of the things that American businesses and energy companies did when the shale drillers unlocked the glut of cheap natural gas is they built export terminals to sell that abroad where it fetched a higher price. Now, a lot of the world is hooked on American shale gas. That's a lot more customers, right? So demand has risen. Meanwhile, producers have had to sort of dial back so that they could stay in business, you know, not drill so much and flood the market, sort of hold back, let the supply and demand balance better so that they can keep drilling and so that they can appease shareholders who are getting sort of tired of the companies that they owned flooding the market of their primary product and driving down the price.
Yeah, my next question was going to be about supply. You know, it wasn't all that long ago we heard about fracking in the U.S. and how it was increasing natural gas supplies. So what does the supply picture look like going forward?
You know, the supply picture, we're back on an upward trend. You know, the pandemic really stopped a lot of markets and a lot of businesses in their tracks. We still haven't gotten back up to the record per output that we had in the weeks and months before the economic lockdown in 2020. But we're getting close. Recent data suggests that producers, that there was about a 2% increase in production from October to November. Now, that's a significant jump, and it's not coming necessarily from the biggest gas producers that can kind of control the market. It's coming from increased drilling in Louisiana, which feeds a lot of the export terminals on the Gulf Coast and the chemical facilities down there. We're seeing, you know, the rise in oil prices in recent months has meant more drilling in West Texas, which those wells, although they're drilled to get to crude oil for gasoline, they produce a lot of natural gas as a byproduct. So we're seeing an uptick in production there. And you're also seeing, even though the big Appalachian drillers are sort of holding to their budgets and their drilling plans and their agreements with shareholders, you have a lot of independent and smaller companies that said, look, you know, $5 gas looks good to me because I'm used to $2 or $3 gas. So they've gone out and started to ramp up production. So we're seeing it get back on the upward trend where a lot of people, you know, forecasters on Wall Street and in the energy industry see the price moderating into next year to be, you know, in the 350 range, which is a little higher than years past, but not so significant that the average person would see it in their bills.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Dezember. Ryan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.